episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Creative Lisa and Anonymous. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Good evening and good morning and good afternoon, wherever you are around the planet. This is Bongversation episode 16, I do believe. Was it 15? 15 or 16? 16. I didn't even know. 16. Wow. And by coincidence, we're going to be talking about The Prisoner, as we were mentioning last week. The very, 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 very controversial show in its day. I was a very young child, probably four or so or three. We had a TV in our house back then. I was obviously watching it because when it got repeated again about 10 years later, I remembered all the imagery, the balloons and the number bit, and I was fascinated, and I actually watched it all way back then. The show was an incredibly controversial show because no one understood what it was about. And they were all expecting it to be sorted out and tied up with a neat little bow at the end, and it wasn't. It left people even more gobsmacked. And Patrick McGoohan actually left the country because there was so much of an uproar in England.
That sounds a little bit. That almost sounds like the guy who's shooting at the
He said he got the War of the Worlds phone calls. Sick of the phone calls, went to Switzerland for a holiday.
Well, so he had a twin citizenship, U.S. and
So anyway,
he was born in New York.
Born in New York. Well, Dave, you go ahead and drop your stuff on The Prisoner from 1967.
That sounds a bit like the old War of the Worlds broadcast. Where they were claiming
I'll tell you this: Patrick McGoohan did not like talking about the show, The Prisoner. He was very much upset him about the reaction he got towards it.
Yeah, because he's a Masonic shill, like most. Because what this goes back to, just so you kind of know the idea of where the prisoner, what it's talking about, it's the flute. Different contexts, and have you heard of the idea of the magic flute Masonic play?
Yes, okay, very so, much.
Yeah, so this is just another version of the same thing. So what you have is you have Patrick McGoohan or Patty Fitz. This character here, he claims he was born in New York. So there's a couple interesting tie-ins. One is with blood. So then he applies his citizenship, or he claimed his citizenship for Ireland by blood, and he claimed his U.S. citizenship by soil, which are two different ways to claim a citizen, actually, within the so-called legal or law system. So what I was thinking about was that if you look at the actual guy's name, Patrick McGoohan, and you do the gematria on it first, just to know who this character is from the get-go, like I was telling you earlier, it comes out 154 in simple gematria. Of course, that's your 1 plus 5. So your 1, or your light standing before your senses, into the door. Right? That's also your 10 or your IO. That's your input output. The same as the Antichrist, 154. All right? So then, if you know that this character is then, and then the question is, when the question is given to you, the character is pursued by a car. If you, this is just for those who are going to kind of watch the show. There's an introduction where number six is being pursued. He doesn't know it at the time, but he eventually he'll know it. However, the numbers on the actual license plate is going to be 21, which, as you know, is blackjack or the idea of 777, yep, as you add up the number. So then, and then, of course, his vehicle is also the idea, just almost in almost reverse, right, to where it's
car,
it gives
one, yeah, car, yeah, 120C.
Yeah, well, yeah, 120C. K. So you, yeah,
with
so
a K, car with a K, yeah, car with a,
yeah,
K,
car, yeah, with a K. So his car, of course, has 120C, which, of course, you can see is 33 if the C is a 3. But you don't, yeah. So then, but you also see the 1-2, which is of course your 21 backwards or your 12, which is 3. Either way,
well spotted. Well spotted.
Yeah. So then you notice that then, just in the opening scene, and then what later becomes the opening of each other episode, is showing you the 33 code or the idea of what this actual idea is about, or what the end result's going to be about.
So he's coming and he's resigned, and mm-hmm. he's in a. You see a big, huge opening of cabinets with filing cabinets, mm-hmm. and it says resigned, and it is his little thing goes into that.
It's all X'd resigned. Out. Yeah. You notice it's X'd out though. The idea of the X, we were talking about that.
X X X X X. Yeah, 100%.
All the way across. So yeah, so that's the 24, or guess what? 6. 2 plus 4 plus 2 is 6. So the idea, and you also notice that. In that same scene, when he's resigning, so then the idea of did you notice, and you might notice this, that the beginning of that is very reminiscent, although it's more of a serious entry, it's very reminiscent of the Get Smart entry.
It's exactly the same. Yeah. You're right. It pulls in. It's in a very small racing type sports car. Yeah, you're right.
Then they walk down the hallway. And then, and of course, there's some differences because with Get Smart, he'll jump in the phone booth. But you notice that in The Prisoner, in the very first episode, when he kind of realizes where he's at, and he sees the waitress getting the tables ready and the guy washing the patio down, he runs down and he asks for where's the phone booth or the phone box. And she says, oh, there's a phone box around the corner. And when he holds the handset, of course, he flashes a Baphomet hand sign, but then mm-hmm. also the phone is shaped as a number 7, and you'll see that the phone is two-tone, meaning 7-7, right? So then so that's like the first same idea, and then Get Smart, of course, he picks up the phone in order for the phone for him to drop down. So you kind of see that same idea, yeah. And I was thinking to myself, there's an obvious connection there, and that is if you go back to Danger Man, which was Patrick McGoohan earlier
in America, they call it Secret Agent Man. If anyone out there does, there's two different names, Danger Man and your version over there, Secret Agent Man.
Right.
Just to hit. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was created by Ralph Smart. Nice. There's your tie in. Yeah. So yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, with the tie well done, man. Smart. Yeah, yep.
Ding, so then, ding, ding, ding. Well done, man. That's a good one, man.
Yeah. So I was also looking at the idea, you know, because at the end of the episode, without giving anything away, he keeps asking why.
Yep.
So then, if you look at the idea of if you're going to create or witness to a story, you're going to say who, what, why, where, and right. So if you have those five W's,
your trivium. Yep.
Once you have that, then you can ask how it was done. Because remember, unless you have that, you don't know, you cannot, you can only surmise how something done. You have not gone through the five W's, and you also, which is the idea, if you look at that as a flower, would of course be it would like the humps. You would have 10 humps. So the idea of an input output, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then within that, now here, before you even get to the idea of the, because like The Prisoner, each episode kind of goes through a different little story, of some of escape, not all of them, some of escape. There were six episodes where he tries to escape, but there's the others then are kind of inter, village, you know, goings on, dealings with the idea of number two, in which, just by the way, you will get shown how number two is always number two, but a different face,
a different actor, in
the very last episode, except for the because the guy in the last episode, he played three times, and there was another character.
Well, I think Colin, it was the Australian Gordon. Actor.
Yeah, Leo McKern.
Leo McKern. Yeah.
He played in three episodes, and he was the best, actually. But what happens is that, or why the character keeps changing face, but the character acts the same
exactly the
time.
Same.
Yeah, it is explained in the last episode, and Leo McKern is the actual character that you want to pay attention to for that reveal. You know,
seventeen episodes all up.
17. Correct. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then 17 total. And then so within the, if you take Patrick McGoohan just as a character name, as an agent put into place, because you notice throughout the show the characters or the door guards for number two are wearing a Masonic, you know, top hats.
Or, they are,
So then it's all Masonic theater. It's also the idea of the magic flute. And for those that who haven't looked into that, that's just look up the Magic Flute Masonic play. It would be a Mozart, supposedly. Go ahead. It was supposed to be out in 1791. They claim, and here's where this is a hoax too, is that they claim Mozart, and this would be, I would say, Mozart Freemasonry into Magic Flute, a book that came out. They claim that he joined the Masonic Lodge at the age of 28. 88-16-7. All right? Mm. To me, that's just too cute by half. And so so just so you kind of know what that story is, it's and how this story is just a retelling of that story, you have the prince character who is pursued by the serpent. The serpent. Serpent is the way by the so-called three ladies, the three, get it? Three, bing, bing, bang. And they're called the queen of the night, or should the main power is the queen of the night, that being the what? The moon. So then know already the idea of the moon. So then the moon then sends through the idea of magic, a flute. So this magic flute is given to the character, and then is off to go to find the queen's daughter, right? Of course, long story short, those two fall in love. There's tests, trials, and tribulations through silence, water, and fire. And then it turns out, and of course the story goes, that the Mason character, or the so-called evil wizard, turns out to be the nice guy who is trying to save them from the wicked woman or the Babylon system, right? So that's kind of that's it, in a nutshell. That's the whole story of that. And then of course, So then, So then moving on, I wanted to say then, now that you know that, and look at Patrick McGoohan, you'll notice that his name is his last name's eight letters, first name seven letters. That's 15. That equals six.
He is so number then, six too.
And of course six represents the present time, the time being spent right now at this moment. Because you notice that in the show, the representation of time was that how he was spending his time each minute, because it was constantly being always, right? So then you have this, so then within that name you have anagrams, and this is quite interesting in that aprochromati, which is the idea if you, it's away from or detached from.
Is this Latin, Dave?
Yeah, it is. It's medical term, so it's going to be quite, yeah, it's going to be all that kind of mixed together.
Okay.
You know, so, yeah. And then you have aprochromatic, which is the idea of aberration or a spherical aberration in a lens. Let's say your eye, it would represent the same thing. A chromatic aberration is when the colors don't focus at the same point, and then you'll see kind of blended or fringes of color. Spherical aberration is when the light focuses a different point, and the actual, it just looks like a blurry image more than a color, change.
Yeah.
Now, that's in the guy's name. All right. You also have gramophone.
Interesting.
Yeah. You also have gramophone, phonic, which is the idea of the gramophone or sound. You have the idea of macrophagic is the idea of white blood cells, and that, of course, is a defensive device, right? That's within his name. You have monographic, which is the written form of a single, you know, the idea of a treatment on a single subject would be a monograph. You write it on a single subject, normally. A nomographic, now this is an instrument that's, or it's a graphical tool that's used for calculation of mathematical equations. That's quite interesting. And it keeps going. Check this out. Then there's the idea of symbols and sounds that come, and sounds that you make when you see the symbol. You see a symbol and you say that makes that sound. That's called phonogrammic, and that's also in his name. And then tomographic is in there as well, which is the idea of CT scans, where you're taking the image or a side view of a so-called body, and you can actually see within the containment of the human body an image of the heart, lung, whatever, CT scan. Yep. So tomographic is kind of the root of that idea, and then that's in his name.
So his name is full of deep photographic imagery and sound imagery. Yeah.
Well, yeah, imagery. And then it keeps on going as you look down through the letter anagrams and all the different anagrams. You'll see that this character of Magooan, or like the idea of Magoo or a custard in the face, involves all this stuff, because the way that the custard is put into your face as a man or a woman in this environment is by all these things.
Mm, it is a very famous image of film too, isn't it? The custard pie and face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that is then the mechanism of delivery for this. All right. This is also the idea of the shades of gray. Right. Then people see the idea of shades of gray or the idea of one's opinion. Do you notice at the end of at the end of the show, there's just one that matters? There isn't an opinion that matters. One that matters that decides the fate of the rest. So then that that's where that comes in. And then you also have the idea of camperating within his name, which is the idea of infusing or impregnating. Not like impregnating to make a baby, but more like the idea of impregnating into something, in wood, for example, things like that. And also it deals with the idea of cinnamon and the different forms of cinnamon, you know?
Well,
yeah. And
who would have thought? And
finally, just before I leave his name, because it's important to kind of tell you that all these ideas are in the name when you say it. They're all in there.
So
panchromatic is in there too, and that's really just like the idea of panning is not only of kind of back and forth, or if you're dealing with panning for gold, for example, you're panning
that's
out.
What I thought.
Yeah, and it's also the idea of scale, the idea of ascending or descending. All right, so then also panning within film is the idea of panning from one place to the other.
And yeah, then, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting, yeah. That's another film technique. Yeah.
Well, also panning. Well, specifically, a good use of panning was in the Alfred Hitchcock, The Rope, which was filmed in quite a small space. But just through the use of camera angle, the whole story was told. And that would be The Rope. If you want to see something that's, kind of tight, confined space, and how angles and the use of the camera matter, and how it not stuck. Even though you're in a small space, you still have a lot of room to work. That's a very good example of that technique. So for sure.
Well, I'll just each episode, he comes and he says, where am I?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is in the village. He goes, what do you want? Information. Mm-hmm. Whose side are you on? That will be telling. We want information. You won't get it. And it says, by hook or by crook. We will. Yeah, interesting. There's a lot of that. Who are you?
Well,
the new number two. Who is number one? You are number six. I'm not a number. I'm a free man. That's the most famous line for that thing.
Yeah.
But, keep going, man. You're smashing it out of the park.
Yep. So the information we were talking about earlier, the idea about information being, especially with what's presented in the system, that there's no information they need. So it's not words on paper. It's the information is that they need the inform to be in formation. So like a brick. Yeah. So they need you to fit like a brick into the form and then not move out of their desired path for you. That's the information they need. And then also I was telling you about the resign, the idea of just within resign, you have resign. So you have, why did you resign? Meaning that if you're an idea of an antichrist character and you're running, why did you go back? Why then did you? Because if you leave, because if you leave, this whole place goes away because they all followed you down here. Do you remember how then that village, especially at the end, towards the end, is that the judge is quite literally, it's very reminiscent of the Toad's Wild Ride judgment where they said, guilty, what are the charges? they say guilty, but then what are the charges? So it's asked backwards.
You've already been told guilty, and he doesn't even know the charges.
But then you'll notice, I'll give a little bit away, you'll just notice if you keep watching that the judge keeps looking at the one in the chair, you'll see later who that is, and then that is the one who's actually making the decision. That other one is only using their voice to influence. To kind of make the idea of, if I say something and make it sound good, will you agree? And that character, the judge in that character was the last judge who was trying to keep the village together as an idea.
Mm. Now, for anyone out there hasn't seen these shows, this village that they filmed it in is a real village in Wales, in the north of Wales, and it exists, and it's incredibly architecture. It's a very interesting story. It's Port Merion or Port something or other. Very interesting location that they chose to shoot this stuff. And I just mentioned this before, I forget. Allegedly, Pat McGoohan was on Danger Man, and the guy that Mark Steen that actually was, he appears on the, when you, he's the guy that he hands his resignation form in every opening episode. He was the other creator of the show. And he told Patrick McGoohan there was a village somewhere where ex-spies can retire to and talk freely amongst themselves. And that's what the idea sparked into Patrick McGoohan's head. This is the backstory. So anyway,
backstory because it's all allegorical anyway. And then it's already, Patrick McGoohan's already kind of let the cat out of the bag, not only by the black and white motif and just the idea of just, there's an episode where they're literally playing chess. And chess is quite actually with the admiral and the general. They're always playing. Yep. The different military men are always playing chess.
Yeah.
Right. And so they're gonna give you every idea but what it is, and it's simply a Masonic play being reacted, and it as always, and all of these different films will try to attest to the character of the so-called Antichrist, making him look. That's how all these things, because that's why they keep remaking shows. By they, I mean Hollywood, those in the entertainment business. And that's across the entire board, whether it be Hollywood, Bollywood, or Pallywood, doesn't matter. The power behind the creation is, of course, the fallen light or the lie.
Right?
That's just the way it is. So, you know, so once you know that, then all of these different shows will simply just give you, if you look at the scenes, like when they were talking about later in episode 16, I'd say, he's walking around where they kind of bring him back into his childhood, right? Yeah. Through different kind of, they bring him into this room for a certain amount of time, and if he passes that test. And that test goes back to the magic flute idea. If he passes his test, he'll get onto the next level and meet number one. So then, if you notice, there's a blackboard there with some letters, A, B, C, D, E, F, and guess where it ends? G. And G is, of course, at the bottom, because that is the seventh letter. And that is the idea of the seven. The three is the G, is the seven in Phoenician. Wow. Also, so you also notice that these characters, or the so-called normal people, or the average people that were running around who were not numbered in the single digits, were basically just, you know, peons, and, you know,
they NLP, were doing... non-playing characters, NPCs.
Yeah, they were just doing menial tasks for the... And so the so-called... And it's also shown on the prisoner cover, where you have one huge wheel and a small wheel on a bicycle, meaning that while one wheel works its butt off, the other wheel is turning very slowly, and it's
the
not
penny
who you
farthing.
Think it. Yeah,
penny farthing.
Yeah, and it's the mass who are the little wheel doing all the work.
Mm.
All right, it's not the other way around.
Because that is the logo of the film. The show is the penny farthing is part of that. That's part of the village logo, which is supposedly represents progress, but progress by the little people pushing the big wheels.
Yes. It does represent progress, and I'm actually glad you said that, because I wanted to cover a couple of the other kind of slogans that are in the show as far as being on the wallpaper. The reason it represents progress is that it's progress, but like you said, at the expense of the mass, the little wheel. All right.
Yeah.
So then, a couple things real quick. If you remember when the card gets put in at the beginning of the episode in the file drawer, if you zoom in on that card, the old computer punch card is going to be 3, 6, and 9. The different lines are labeled 3, 6, and 9. So you already know that, right? So that's the idea.
Yep.
And then so there's another poster that says, "A still tongue makes a happy life." That means that if you're not running your mouth, you'll have a happy life. And that's actually true. However, but it's one of those half truths. It's the idea that while it's absolutely a true statement, if you have something to say, then
you can say it,
right? If you don't have something to say, a still tongue will make your life happier. And then there's another one that's, it's another kind of half-truth, quarter-truth idea. Questions are a burden to others. That's absolutely true. Anytime you question somebody, you're actually you're saying to yourself, without asking them, unless you ask them, "Can I take your time?" You're presenting yourself to someone and then taking their time because you want something. That is a burden on them, regardless of whether they want to do it or not, because that time doesn't come back. You can see that part of it's correct. Then it says, "Answers a prison for oneself." Now, The half-truth about the answer is a prison for oneself is that the answer is a prison if it is a lie. If you then have decided that you live on a ball in space, for example, and that's your answer, you're not walking from that. That's your prison. Because you cannot now accept anything that does not fit within that model that you've actually accepted as being your idol, because you would go against yourself, that you would consider that illogical, and then you would consider it folly. Right? Because that is just the way that works. So you see that while that statement is true, questions are a burden to others, answers are a prison for oneself. All of that's true. However, it's there's a half-truth in there.
That's right. It's very Orwellian government control. Don't ask questions. Keep your mouth shut. Don't run your mouth.
You also notice that when he comes into his room, it says, "Welcome to your home from home," right?
Home from home, yeah.
Home from home, and it's got that little wooden stick figure with the scowl face.
Yeah,
the little wood figure is the wood man or the burning man. It's another example of the wicker man.
That's true.
Yeah, and then of course, be seeing you. You know, the idea where they keep flashing the six, the triple six.
The triple six and be seeing it. That's, everyone says it on the on the island or wherever he is. Mm.
Yeah. So then be seeing you is going to be 2-3-2-1. All right. So then that's going to be the be seeing you is going to be the idea of concerning ones with the upcoming details. Right, because you just add that. So be seeing you, and then also the idea of the six into itself, eating itself. If you just look at that and you mirror opposite it, you've almost formed what would be the seven. You know, the idea of a digital display, the seven segment display, which shows 0 through 9, of course. And so you've really just that eye sign. If you flip and mirror it, You've created really the idea of a seven, circuit that can create your 1 through 10 idea. And of course, 0 and 1 are separate.
Which we've talked about on the Bongversations, episode 1 through 10.
Mm. So you see how that all comes back together.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Fascinating. You're doing it again, Dave. You're knocking it out of the park. None of this that you're bringing up, I've kind of thought of. You know, I know what I thought. My version of the be seeing you and the mm-hmm. six triple six. You know, blatantly back in '67, you were getting flashed all these signals left, right, and centre,
mm-hmm.
and each show had a completely different. They seem to be individual shows, but they all fit together perfectly if you actually go and watch them together. There's probably a couple of fillers that they might have added, but most of them really were very deep, had a lot of deep psychological impact on the story. Like when he was confused, they made him think he was another person.
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant episode.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, what was that? That was called the schizoid man.
Episode five.
So that's when they had the doppelganger and
that's right. And they grew a beard. Yeah, that's right. Well, they put him to sleep for a month, let him grow a beard, and then woke him back up again and convinced him that he was there to break the number six, and that he was mm-hmm. a doppelganger for it. Great episode.
And, you remember at the beginning where they had the girl taking the picture of him, and they bang his thumb. I knew when I was watching it, I said, I knew that was so out of place, it has to be important.
Yeah.
It was such an out of place scene that I said, that's going to come back. That's got to be important. And of course, is how he kind of tells that time passed by the bruise on his thumb.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, very interesting. Yeah, and I was looking at that day. And also the next one, the idea of the speed learning, is I see that was called the general.
Episode 6, The General. Yep.
Yeah, if you remember in that, you had this idea of the speed learn. And what the speed learn was that you would three-year course in 3 minutes. And yep. If you notice that it used during the camera would go into the eye of the professor, and then a light would flash. So then that goes back to remember all the anagrams within this guy's name. So then the light, 100%. Yeah, the light flashing into the eye, and then you had all this information. And then what information. Now then, when they went out and tested each other, they were just all babbling, all just made up stories, nonsense. Mm. They were all, and then guess what? That is the idea of a shared intelligence, or like a ChatGPT, where you have a shared intelligence that each person is going to know the answer because they got it from a similar, which you know that in witchcraft, is the idea is the idea of a personal demon that you carry around. So then the idea then, if you accept this certain place or route for your information, you're going to then get it. And if that it is, let's say for this example, the general, if you get it from that source, it's always going to be the same. It's upgraded. Mm-hmm. Upgraded. And so you don't actually know anything. You just know the stories that were told to you. So
which is basically university education these days, isn't it? When you think about it, that they're all getting the universal, single verse sung to them, and they can't ask questions properly. Yeah.
Well, that's the idea of when you graduate. So then you have the mortar board on your head, and you have it on your right. So think, oh, I'm right before you graduate, and then they flip it over to your left after you. So just even in the right and left, I was in my right mind, now I'm in my left mind. And so then within mortarboard, think about that. Just if you look at the anagram, you have barrister, which is the idea of in law or legal, it's if you are a persistent instigator of godless or groundless lawsuits. If you are like one of those, an ambulance chaser, somebody like that, what do they call them in Australia? Here they call them ambulance chasers.
Same thing.
Yeah. So that would be called a barrister. All right. And then in maritime law, that same, so within that mortarboard, that thing on your head, within the maritime law, which is the idea of the admiralty law or the law of the sea, you have it's wrongful acts committed against a master or the crew by the master of the crew, I should say, causing injury to the owner or the charterer. I find that interesting because that means that the master or the crew, who is actually on the ship and who is given temporary power, let's say in the Navy or something where you have a captain who's the captain of the ship, they're temporarily given that power. And the crew, if they then go against or mutiny the owner, in this case, the government or the charterer, the U.S. Navy, then they have committed this barrister act. And then ecclesiastically, like within the ecclesiastical type idea or the Catholic hoax church idea, it's somebody who within their ecclesiastical law, it's somebody who buys and sells the church office or different, like a different level of church office. So like if you buy and you sell, if you're at a certain position within that organization, buy and sell access, that you're guilty of that. And that's within the idea of the mortarboard anagram, which is what they put on their head.
Yep, very much a Masonic square. It's basically the cube placed on top of your head.
Well, and it's the Cuban. It's the idea. Look at it also as just if you look at the seven letters. Remember, seven is the idea of Zion or mind. What is the mind or the idea of that thing you put on your head? Well, there's a few seven letter anagrams you can see easily. Or barroom. Where do most of these people wind up? At the bar. Doormat. Yeah. They wind up the doormat of a corporation or a company where they get worked into the ground. Or they become the matador, which is the one who controls the flow. So you have it's all states of mind. So are you the matador? Are you the doormat? Are you the barroom? Well, what is your state of mind? All right?
Yep.
Yeah, so then...
Spot on, man.
Yeah, man. So, yeah. And I was going to say, there's a tie-in, and you might be interested in the eighth episode, which is the Dance of the Dead, which is kind of like a lot of these are a little bit on the bizarre side, but it's one of those things. There's a character who is he plays, his name is Aubrey Morris, and he actually, the tie-in about him and what makes that interesting is that he ties in with the Clockwork Orange, because he played the what do they call that when you're getting out of jail? Sure, it'll come to me. But he also played within the actual prisoner. He played in the prisoner and the Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, these shows came out. They were in a few years of each other, but and Kubrick was definitely in England in those days. He's definitely influenced by the prisoner and a lot of the stuff for sure.
Oh yeah, and then he was so that kind of just shows you that the different characters or actors are more like troops who are kind of brought about to these different roles when they are meant to play, because his name was actually, his last name is, like most, he changes it for the film to Morris, but it's actually Steinberg. Steinberg, another one.
So acting trope, troop, T-R-O-U-P, and T-R-O-P, same thing, says the same thing, sounds the same, is the same.
For sure. It's a troop. It's like an army. It's just of clowns, because you'll notice that in the show The Prisoner, all the I meant to say this earlier, all the so-called higher than double digit type people are wearing basic clown suits, jester suits, almost like very Phoenician as well. There's a lot of
an awful lot of Phoenician imagery too through The Prisoner, guaranteed, 100%.
Yeah,
well spotted.
Yeah, and so then that go. Did I mention to you about the final kind of idea about his name, the Trick McGoohand? We talked about that, right?
We did. We didn't go into the that last bit.
Bit about moving the if you move the P kind of drag it from the front to the back, it becomes a D, and then you just read a Trick McGoohand. So then that's the idea of telling you that it's a it's almost like the sleight of hand. It's the magician showing himself to you who he is. And the Magoo is the pie in the face. So then now you know that the character who plays out, who is actually shown to you as kind of this put upon guy, number six, is also analogous to the idea of a rebel. And also the idea directly to the Antichrist idea, and the village, the idea of the village government or power structure is so ridiculous, over the top, that it makes him look good, right? Yeah. Because the actual number two, you'll notice that number two, if you look at the idea of Code of Creation, two is always concerned. What was the number two character doing the entire time, every episode? Constant concern about number six, which is the present.
Well done. Right?
And then what is six plus two but eight? Because that's details. And details can also be seen as what? Information. All right? So it always winds up to be that if a story will make sense to you, or it will keep you engaged, you know, kind of like keep moving forward, it has to have a logical ascending and descending, like scale, like the idea of the panchromatic, which is in the guy's name. It just so happens to mean ascending and descending scale in music. Yeah. So it just so happens to mean that. So it's all in there. And you'll notice that the song at the end of, it's not too much to give it away, but when he's walking in, I won't tell you who number one is, but love, that.
Yeah.
But when you read part of it, if you can get past the monotonous love, love, love over and over, you get to the point to where it's basically there's nothing new under the sun.
No, incredible that they had that. So the Beatles had only just released the All You Need Is Love, which is allegedly a global satellite network that allowed that to be traveled around the world. But it was used in the end episode of The Prisoner
as the
destruction and chaos and shootings going on. All you're hearing is the Beatles, All You Need Is Love, throughout the entire thing.
Well, it's really going through the actual word parts, is telling you what you need to know. There's nothing you can do that can't be done. There's nothing you can sing that can't be sung.
Be sung, yeah.
Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy.
Yeah, do 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 do. Yep.
So then. If you read that, that's really just the same idea of there's nothing new under the sun, meaning that it's all been done. Like, and you can learn how to be you in time. It says also, but you can learn how to be you in time. It's easy.
Very powerful spellcraft.
And then also then it goes on to say there's nowhere you can be that isn't where you were meant to be.
Meant to be.
It's easy. Yep. So then that's also the idea of rebellion, because that just gives us do as thou wilt. It's another version of do as thou wilt will be the whole of the law. So you see there's that truth, half truth, quarter truth. The idea of the missing notes or the crossed bones, the crossed wires that then mislead the mind, because that's how you have the skull and bones. The skull and the crossbones representing the missing notes or the idea of the crossing or the short. Yep. And then what is shorted but the skull? So if you short the path to the skull, the mind does not get information.
Information.
So then you're left out of comms with what is the truth or number one. You constantly become number two. Right, because you're always concerned about something that's not your concern. People will quite literally witness to something they didn't see.
Yeah,
and I'm like, dude, what are you doing? What are you doing, man? It's like once the word is put out of your mouth, it can't go back. It can be forgiven. It can be forgotten, by man, of course, never by God. And then it will always be, however, cast into the air. You can't get rid of it. It's an energy that's been put out.
It's a vibration. Yeah.
And all you can do is repent from it, change your mind. Because repent means to change your mind, the idea of changing time. Because the reason that if you change your mind, you change time is because when you change your mind, the future time you spend will be done differently. Because you're a time changer, right? Because you've changed, your mind has been changed. You've been brought into a way with, I pray that it's with my Lord Jesus Christ. And then you are brought down and you are brought, shown the truth of the matter. And there you go. And then you can then witness to all of this type of show and these different, whether it be through music or TV or movie, that these different characters who are all it's a little Charlotte's web of connection and that they're telling you certain things. However, there's the half truth and the quarter truth, just like notes in music that you have to listen to, and you're going to hear the false ring. And when you hear those, you can take what's shown to you, keep what is good, and throw away what's not.
Yep.
Keep what is true and chuck what's not.
Yep.
You know, that's the easiest way to look at all this stuff. So then I was thinking that the idea that these characters don't like to talk about this work is because once it's found out and once it's like so easily shown to be simply Masonic, the idea of black and white, you know, which is, you know, black is, let's say, 8 zeros on the grayscale, and then white is 8 ones, and then the inner mix between those two, let's say if it's 8-bit, is going to be 256 different combinations. All right, we'll make different shades of gray, but it's all of the same. It's all of the same 8-bit scale for that example.
You know? Yeah.
So then it within the system, it looks like something's being done and there's something happening. But if you're able to observe from outside the and see it for what it is, which we're doing now, just by looking at the name, you can see all the different ideas, which when you now watch the show, you will see that they represent. You will see that the TV is used dramatically, especially for the three-year course and 3 minutes episode. The radio is constantly. The radio gets you up. It sends you to sleep. It's the phone is an instant ring to you. And then remember, in the phones had different color codes depending on who they were. So even number two, who was supposedly in charge, when the red phone rang, and that's of course the color of love, 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 he would got scared. Why would he get scared if that love was so? Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then it's the idea of it's the idea of a word that's spoken that's misconstrued as being true, and that in this case is love. All you need is love. Well, define love, because if you because that's from the Beatles' Yellow Submarine album too, isn't it?
And no, I don't think it was from Yellow Submarine, but it was off. Maybe it was released as a single. It would have had to have been on one of their albums, though. Probably Magical Mystery Tour.
Okay, so then I'm guessing you're going to probably see there's going to be some purple somewhere on the cover, because the idea of purple is the space. Now here's something that you might find interesting. Then we'll start to wind it down, is that you have, let's just say, the idea of the rainbow. So then you have violet, indigo, blue, green, yellow, orange, red. Now, if you take a look at the numbers, one, you're one, and then two will be red. Two is the idea of concern. It's also because it's 650 nanometers. Six plus five is 11, and that's two. All right? Mm-hmm. So then your senses are brought into this idea, you know, the idea of the 33 will bring you into the senses, by the orange. The orange is the idea of, you know, the temptation. And that's 590 nanometers. This is the idea of orange, the color that you visually see with all the... nine plus five is what, 14? And then that's five. So that's your senses. Then you go to yellow. Yellow is the idea of don't eat the yellow snow. It's the idea of it's also light, yellow, the sun. There's a lot of different ideas you can think of when you think of yellow. But yellow is also Yellow Submarine, for example. 570. So it's five. That's 570 nanometers. So then guess what? 5 plus 7 is 12. 2 plus 1 is 3. So then you're looking at the idea of yellow, which is on the guy's license plate, remember?
Yep.
So then here's what's interesting. So then I'll get to a few ones, but then there's one number missing in this as you go through, because there's two number fours, which will make sense in a minute. The eight, there's no color on my chart that will reduce to eight. However, there's two that reduce to four. Every other number is covered. All right. Mm-hmm. So then the two fours, then what do you have? But a four is a doll letter or a door. Four plus four is eight, or the details, the idea of the door reflected. That is also the outside of the cube, the six sides and eight corners on a cube, six sides and eight corners. The eight is if expanded would be the outside, the max, containment space for that so-called idea or light. So then that just so happens to be right where you would see the color purple.
All right?
Within the, yeah, so then that is why you'll notice purple being used for all reasons. Purple has to be used because it's a color, but it's going to be used and it's going to be for that specific purpose.
Well, behind number two, the various number twos, it was purple, the color purple.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a red phone, a blue phone, a yellow phone.
Yep.
And he's sitting in everything that was really hot 60s fashion, like the phones were a one piece phone. Back in the days, in the old days, back then, what I can remember, you had a phone that had a dial on it. These were the original, the latest push button one piece phones that was so out of, left of center back in that in this episode. Fascinatingly. Yep. Sorry, was it to mention the purple is definitely in the background of number two.
Yeah. And you'll see that even throughout. You'll see it throughout media. It just has to be there because that is a gateway color. That's the gateway. That's when you see that. Just be mindful of what's being presented to you at the same time. Let's just say that. So when you see purple, actually look and ask yourself what's being told to me.
Because, what's being told to you?
Yeah, because you'll want to verify that for sure. Mm. Right? Because there's nothing because once believed on, it becomes an idle thought in your mind. And it just gets put onto the shelf with the rest of the dumb
becomes
shit.
Your idol and becomes your idol.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And becomes the rest of the dumb shit you believe. You know? So and then that's the little jars you pull down when you have conversations with people. You pull down these little jars and, hey, let me show you this. And you say, you're like, oh, nah, put that away. You know? put that lame ass idea. Yeah. So then, So I was thinking if there was any of the other episodes that I kind of I really Checkmate was an escape attempt one as well, and that was they did a human chessboard as a metaphor, and that goes again back to the Masonic idea, you know, the human chessboard.
Yeah.
You know? And then the episode 12, the change of mind or a change of mind. Is an interesting, it's interesting that it's the idea of peer pressure is being used for him to, through public shaming, to try and get him to change his mind. So that's the idea of public media today, Twitter, X, bans, I don't want to hear what you're saying, you know, literally cancel you. I tell you who it's not keeping you off the internet from talking. It's not Donald Trump or Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. It's none of those characters that are put in front of you. It's simply people on you who are sitting at some other table across from you who are just a Joe Jobber as well, who run a website.
Yeah.
That's who's actually incorporated, or that's actually, they're the capos with a K, just like, you know, the capo. You know what capo is? It's the idea of an internal police force, like a
capo.
Like, they're the one. They go against their own people. Their own. So they work for free as well. They're quite literally like a hall monitor.
Mm. Episode 9, Checkmate, is, you know, you see the entire village standing around it. So you've got the human chess pieces, basically, all wearing Phoenician-style clothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, literally a giant checkerboard out the front of the, where number two, his house, I guess, or his...
Go ahead.
All that. And the amount of people wearing stripes. Stripes feature heavily with the clothing, but definitely chess is all through the various episodes, and one's included called Checkmate. I highly recommend people watch this show and look into it. Hammer into Anvil, episode 10. That was a fascinating one as well. Some good stuff.
I was going to say the Lions too goes back to the idea of the computer card, which was used there. If you remember,
at the beginning,
yeah, there was an episode where they would almost like the Inception. The idea of, it was way back in episode 3, ABC, ABC 1 2 3 3 4 5 6, 3 + 2 + 1 = 6. So they would then would cause a dream state, and then they, through A, B, or C, they would introduce an A character, B character, C character into his dream to see how he would interact, to see which one, was the so-called suspect. Yeah. So then that was an interesting study in the idea of dreams and uncovering motives. And also within dreams, if you go outside of control narratives, because if you remember, he went outside of the so-called control narrative. He tried within his dream, because once you're dreaming, there's how are they going to control it unless they can guide you by coercion or some sort of voice in your ear. And also remember the idea of stripes, Rick, is if you have the black and the white. So if black is eight zeros and white is eight ones, the space between the one and the zero is going to look like a stripe. Uh-huh. And then, of course, that's your whole idea of your grace or your 256. So if you're just... like you'll notice, like the doctor was, number 117, and so, meaning that the idea of a doctor wasn't very high up on the scale. It was just,
you're right.
Yeah, it was really just an idea that they performed a task, and they were also the ones that could be counted on. So they were they were farther away from the eye of number two. The closer you are to the number, the more in view you are. If you're way up in the hundreds, they're not going to care about you. You become a prol, because your character...
The higher your number, the lower you are.
Yeah, because if you went against it, all of your so-called perceived comforts and benefits, because remember, the general on the professor episode lived quite comfortably in a real nice place compared to the others. You would have to give all that up. And that's the idea, the earthly treasure idea. Now, if you remember, I was kind of wanting to tie this into the end, where they're talking about who finally winds up helping number six, or the present, or the idea of the Antichrist. Who helps him? But number two, concern. And the rebellious youth character, dry bones.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Look, the episode is so. the show, even today, by today's standards, this is an out there TV show. If you can only envisage what it was like for normal people in the '60s to get this thrown in front of them, you'll understand why there were so many people. Imagery. It was fantastic. Yes, some of it was kind of followable, but once you hit this last episode, episode 17, Fallout, which is interesting, they'd bring up the kind of a nuke thing.
Wasn't that interesting?
Yeah.
But did you also notice that the number one was, I don't want to give too much away, but it was also capable of pretending to overheat and do other, it was very quite interesting.
Well, it's interesting, the young guy that helps him, in the episode 17, he's in a kind of an elevator, a glass elevator thing that's got Orbit 48 written on it.
He sure does.
And he's also got a kind of a top hat, and a Masonic top hat, but maybe not a complete top hat. But there's my goodness gracious me, and the whole damn bones thing out there.
You have 48, the idea of 48, which is 12. 8 plus 4 is 12. 12 is 3. Remember I told you about 3, the idea, then that idea, because 3 sevens is 21, which is blackjack. So then remember, if you go to Ezekiel 37, and the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out to the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were many in the open field, and lo, they were very dry. So that's the idea of dry bones.
Interesting, he says, young number 48, that was his number, his name was all but 48, but
yep.
It says, his number 48's sole response was to give the bell that hangs on the chain around his neck a tinkle. The president then gives the order for him to be held in place of sentence after the prisoner's inauguration. But then he's still singing the spiritual, he tells of the miracle described in the book of the prophet Ezekiel.
Yep.
It's actually in the story itself.
Oh, fascinating. Okay. Well, I mean, you can't miss it. I mean, as soon as I heard it, I was like, I know what he's talking about. So them bones. And so he's talking about them bones. And then this is the Lord. He said unto me, son of man, that would be then Ezekiel or the man in this case. Can these bones live? It's a question. And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. That means that it's not in me to tell them. It's in them to talk to you.
Yeah. So we're definitely, this show is way deeper than even like a lot of the previous analyses have done on this show. This show's not just written by, there would be a group of people who have put this amount of stuff into one TV show. Is it predictive programming? Is it whatever? No, I don't know. But basically, they were telling someone a story, but it wasn't the general public. There were people out there back then that would have been going, nodding away. I understand. We understand. But not the general public.
Yeah, the reason I put on Patrick McGowan, because he wanted, it says it was created by him. So here's the thing about this character, is that this character, after with all these different other definitions within his name, I would say he is what's called a conduit, or it was given to him in a dream, in a thought. He'll say, oh, and why won't this character, or why doesn't he like to talk about it? It's because he knows where it came from, and to talk too much is going to give away the ghost, because none of these guys are innocent.
No,
it's all Hollywood, man.
Well, the co-creator Mark Steen for sure was an expert at counterintelligence, and you know, all his books and films he'd done afterwards were all about spies and spycraft. So, and he was a German, German-born Jewish guy that allegedly escaped Germany and went to America and become a journalist in America. And we're talking about journalists in the last two episodes, Dave.
Of course, yeah.
It ties in. Of course. So Mark Steen was definitely a journalist and part of that fraternity of journalists, I would say, because there's too much in this this TV show
that is of
high level, deep, very deep meaning to not to the public. The public just sat there and go, "What the fuck was I watching?" But no, there would be people out there back then that understood and watched that imagery, saw those numbers. And understood this is a future world episode. You know,
you remember, Rick, that the idea of the nomographic tool within his name, the calculation of mathematical equation, that idea, it, in one of the last episodes, he kept reiterating. In fact, 16, which is 7, he kept reiterating that he was very good at math. Remember,
It
was said at least 3 times.
Yeah,
and in fact, number 2 also mentioned it, basically saying we all are.
Notice the cameras, the amount of cameras. You know, the guys that are floating around when number 2's office. You've got this panopticon type thing. Yeah. They've all got movie cameras, and they're flitting around on these like giant, what would you call it? Like a scale. One that balances the other, but they're going around in the circle. There's that. So basically, your stuff, what you're talking about with McGowan's name and all these high level filming and light things, it features throughout the whole show.
Yeah.
So McGowan's name encompasses those things. Fantastic. Another blowout of a show, man.
Yeah, man.
There's no one else has ever done any of this stuff before. I would know because I have been saturating myself with this conspiracy type. Well, I mean, you know, the real heavy esotericism. Right. But this breakdown is up there with the best, guaranteed. Be told. be told. Accept the compliment, and because you've really nailed some good stuff here.
Absolutely. Nailed some good.
So the village is Port Mairion, P-O-R-T. Yes. Mairion. So Ion is in the name too.
Ion. And it's in Wales, huh?
Yeah, in Wales. Yeah. Really exists, still there. Just was built by some eccentric architect back in the day. You'll probably find there'd be bullshit in that story. That was probably the way a lot of villages were designed back in the day. And it was probably that they're trying to say on some special place. But my goodness, it is architecturally, it's an incredible looking place. Here we go. Sir
William Ellis.
Clough William Ellis. Yep. He was the eccentric architect, not a real businessman, but certainly was first and foremost a poet. His career as an architect, which began in 1904, had earned him a considerable fortune, which allowed him to realize his dream of building an ideal village in quotation marks, through which it would be proved that the elements taken from the most diverse arts and styles of architecture was possible to create a completely harmonious whole. Da, 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 da. So, yeah, so it's a real thing. Very interesting place.
I was looking at it on the some of the pictures. I think I'd go bat nuts in about a
day. Yeah, no, I'm not saying I want to go there.
Oof. Yeah, so I'd definitely be trying to escape for sure, 100%.
Watch out for them. So the bubble Dimba. For you summarizes thought or what was he escaping from? What was the giant balloon bubble?
Oh, well, the rovers, they call them. The rovers. Or dogs. Yeah. Well, a rover to me within the lexicon would be Red Rover type or Rover. Red Rover.
Red Rover.
Or a balloon or a dog. Dog is, of course, God backwards. So then the idea of, yeah.
Interesting.
So then the idea, and then guess what it did? It took your breath away.
Yeah.
And then once it took your breath away, it dragged you back in.
Yeah.
So then who gives breath but God? The idea of breathing in.
Interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the rover idea. I thought that was that idea of when the face goes into the balloon.
Yeah.
That was quite brilliant for the idea of giving the viewer the claustrophobic kind of feeling.
Yeah, that was like, very well done. Very well done.
And that's been done many times since in so-called horror flicks. Is that same sort of kind of the idea of showing suffocation or that idea, even though that the cause of it is so delicate, seemingly.
Yep.
Right, and so it's two competing ideas coming at you. It's like such a delicate thing, causing such destruction, and then of course they team up and they drag the person or the character back in, and then the person winds up back in their bed, just like Groundhog Day. The next morning, and then they open up their eyes and they look outside, and yep, they're right back in the village again.
Yep.
So there's, I would say, six exactly of where there's an escape attempt. So that means that most of the episodes are taking place in the village, and very little of the village is seen in the two, but quite a bit of it is seen in the rest of it.
Yeah. It was just one of those shows. It was like a dream in a lot of aspects to it. You know, the imagery, and particularly those giant balloons. For sure, there's more of a Freudian thing in that giant white balloon that would chase you if you escaped onto the water and would come out of the ground and just chase you. I see that as Freud. There'd be some Freudian weird shit.
Oh, yeah.
There.
Anytime you're coming out of the water, though, you're being reborn out of the water. So it's like you got suffocated, you got resuscitated, you were born from the water, and you are now back in your bedding. It's just a rebirth. And so that's that then shows the idea that they didn't want to quote unquote kill you. That was not the goal. Otherwise, you wouldn't.
No, that's right. They were dragging it back into the lie.
Yeah, so
dragging it back into the lie. Yeah.
So it's the who, what, why, where, and when idea, and then you figure out how. Because remember, when after he asked why all the time, they want to know how things are done. Do you want to? So that's why you won't know how things are done until you're in one, because everyone else is just. So then that's how that kind of five plus one becomes the six, or becomes present, and then the six flipped into time or rotated visually looks like the eight or the tails. It's not complicated, but if people took the time to simply look at the basic number system and apply it to not only movies, TV, but newspaper articles, they'll see the so-called matrix is quite simply being built in front of them if they choose to accept that as a truth. And then once they get onto that platform, once they get onto that lattice, then they, like the old dude in Donkey Kong, you're up there trying to save the princess. The princess is the idea you've fallen in love with that's constantly being abused by big mean guys who are telling you it's not true. Big gorillas, and you're fighting off, and it's like sometimes you're fighting off angels, right?
Well, I think definitely in the next couple of shows we want to look at doing computer games as being how powerful they are. Minecraft being, I'll send you some stuff from the coming April release of Minecraft movie, which is full of stuff that you are just going to be enjoy. You'll be enjoying that movie when it comes out. I don't know how much you know about the game, but we will discuss Minecraft, Donkey Kong, and Doom. I think would be we'll actually do, because you've got a great knowledge of computers as well.
I know some Doom. I know Unreal, the Unreal.
There's some interesting stuff to be discussed in the of the Bongversations. We'll end the discussion of to release people's minds from the intense knowledge that has got force fed.
And 3-year course in an hour.
Yeah, in an hour. Easily done, man. That's what you just did. You just did it. You knocked it out of the park again. Sorry to blow more
smoke.
More
trichomes.
Speaking of trichomes. Go for it.
Yeah, I have some Northern Lights.
Okay.
The Northern Lights, it's going to be, let's just say, very smooth, very easy. It's got a lot of purple in it, and it's going to be an indica. So to me, it's very dense, and it has let's just say the aroma is quite fruity in a way, fruity for an indica. And it's really one of those strains that lets you relax. So if you're prone to excitability, Northern Lights will go ahead and relax you down.
Sounds like I could do with some.
Yeah, Northern Lights number five. Number five. Northern Lights number five, which is what you're going to find most, and that's going to be basically Haze and Skunk One, all right? Which is just a cross. So Haze, anytime you can find anything Haze, get it. Anything Skunk, get it. And the two together, get it. Because those two together.
Get it. You're going to get it when you get it.
Get it. Because those two together just give you such a nice, relaxed, very euphoric too. It's relaxed without feeling dull.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah, you're relaxed. You're still quite, able to do quite a bit of work and. Which we just did, actually.
Well, because you just did. I added some, but you really did knock it out of the park again, man.
Yeah, right before I got started, I went a little Northern Light. So yeah, so absolutely. So I found that to be quite an interesting look-see.
Right. That was a really, really interesting look-see, and I've got a great book called The Prisoner. It's a French book. It had to be transcribed from the French. Mm-hmm. It's Alain Carrezi. It says Carrezi to me, but it's C-A-R-A-Z-E with a thing above it. Mm-hmm. And Helena Oswald, the interesting surname. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And it's actually got a real interview with Patrick McGoohan, who is very standoffish. But he was happy that they're doing a book on the show.
Right. I read those little clips you sent me.
Well, also, I just have to mention Patrick McGoohan started one of my favorite Disney set in the American Battle of Independence, and he played Reverend Sin, and he was the scarecrow. The scarecrow of Romney Marsh with 63, 64, or 65, I guess, just before The Prisoner. He did a great Disney, I think it was a three-parter or it could have been a six-parter, not sure, but Wonderful World of Disney in the back in the 70s. I loved that show. Swamp Fox, sorry, not Swamp Fox, it was the scarecrow of Romney Marsh, and he played a reverend, he always plays very similar characters. You have to look at Patrick McGoohan. He's always although he was the bad guy in Braveheart, kind of, but he always plays, and he was the governor in Clint Eastwood's Alcatraz, Escape from Alcatraz. But normally he always plays not a bad guy. He's always like the friend of the people.
Right.
But I'm a big fan of Pat McGoohan's acting style. He refused James Bond. Ian Fleming wanted him to be James Bond, and he said, I'm not, I don't want my kids to see me flitting about with different women every night in nightclubs, etc. And he refused James Bond as an actor, which I thought was a 10 out of 10, if that was really true.
Well, you have the idea within his name also, just going back to the anagrams, you have just charming. You know, so you have this.
He was, for sure.
And so you have a bunch of different within names. You have certain ideas that can be looked at, and why certain actors choose certain names to use on the screen as screen names, because there's power in them. You know,
no doubt about that, man. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. Yeah, so that just like with Cary Grant, that his name was Archibald Alec Leach. I mean, who's going to
Archie Leach? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, who's going to go watch that? So Cary Grant. So you have those different ideas within in words. So that's like the method. So if you want to know the method to two things, if they give you a title or a name, look at the different words within that name. To see what that character is going to present to you.
Interesting.
And if you look at what we talked about with this Patrick McGoohan character, you'll see that the character he gives you is going to match those different qualities I told you about.
Yeah.
So then that's what that character is then is presented. Right?
Fascinating.
Yeah,
man. I think we'll wrap it up now, Dave. Right. I think we've done enough. We've done enough damage to people's normality. They're going to have to really go back and watch these episodes 1 to 17. To be honest, as long as you understand the gist of the very first episode and why he was sent there, you can flip through the different episodes because they're independent in themselves. It's not a concurrent show that you're not. It's not like a Quinn Martin production. We have to find out what happened in the last episode.
Right.
Each episode is in itself its own entity, so highly recommend that. And I do believe Dave and Velocet have agreed that the best song to end this episode 15. It is 16, isn't it?
16.
Oh, my God. 16. Is The Prisoner by Iron Maiden. He did a really good song back in early 80s, mid 80s, of that utilizes the introduction to the I'm not a number, I'm a free man, and not a bad song. So, on this Sunday, to double check that date again, I just had it in my head, but it's the 24th of November 2024, 24/11/24. There's got to be there. You're listening to the great
digger. Number six.
Yeah. So, Dave, thanks again, man. You've done it again. And we'll next week, look, whatever. I do think we should do computer games or a few computer games.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I think
we'll
so.
We'll come back and do it.
All right, man. All right, dude. Send the bot out and have a chat. See you, bot. Bang.
Let's see.
I'm Maiden, The Prisoner. Iron Maiden, The Prisoner.
Yeah.
I'm not a number. I'm a free man.
Man.